Business Radio. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and I am your host for today for our special Chic Perspective show. So thanks for tuning in, because we've got a great special episode today focusing on the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers. With me in the studio this afternoon are Amanda Wick, who is the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for Georgia Association of Women Lawyers, Cindy Manning, a criminal defense and civil litigation lawyer and the founding partner of Manning, Levine, and Marlowe, and also involved in the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers. And lastly, I have Michelle West, who is the chair of programs for the group and also the founder and owner of M. West Legal LLC, where she focuses on immigration, estate planning, and family law matters. Welcome, ladies, to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you.
So let's start with Miss Manning, who was the first to arrive today into the studio. So, Cindy, you recently just launched your latest venture, you know, the latest chapter of your career, if you will, as a founding partner of Manning, Levine, and Marlowe. Tell me a little bit about the firm and why you guys decided to start your own law firm.
Well, Manning, Levine, and Marlowe is a law firm of three partners, and the three of us are women lawyers that have known each other for several years through GAL, frankly. That's how we met, through a mentoring circle lunch in GAL that we get together once a month for. And we all sort of do different things. I practice in criminal defense and civil litigation. My background is I worked for the large firms for several years doing litigation work, and I also was a prosecutor in Georgia for several years. And so I decided that I wanted to kind of marry those two and own my own firm, and started the criminal defense and litigation work. And the other two ladies do different things. We also, Lauren does business law, corporate work, and Elaine does estate planning. So amongst the three of us, we kind of cover a large gamut of practice areas and help lots of different clients.
Now, Sadie, what drew you to the law originally when you decided to first go to law school? Was there an event or an inspiration of sorts?
You know, that's such a tough question, because I feel like I've always wanted to be a lawyer, but I don't have lawyers in my family. The first memory I have of wanting to be a lawyer was watching, embarrassingly enough, A Few Good Men in the theater with my father.
That is a great classic law scene. I think everybody
absolutely
can respect that.
So I admired Tom Cruise so much in his cross-examination that I decided I wanted to do that. And that's the first memory I have. But frankly, you know, going off to college, I knew that I wanted to be a lawyer for whatever reason, and sort of have always pursued that route.
And so then you found out that movie wasn't real.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't quite work that way.
So, Amanda, it's not really like that in the the real world of practicing law.
No, and in fact, when I once stood up and said, "Your Honor, I strenuously object," he gave me this weird look, like, "Really? Really, you just did that?" But it is not. I mean, not real in terms of the procedure of it, where you realize you can't go on for a 5-minute narrative, no matter how awesome it is in court. Strangely, the intensity of the trial work is, I think. For me, I'm one of those people who being in the courtroom is just the ultimate high. It's just, even if it's a 2-minute hearing, just getting up and speaking in front of the judge is that awesome. You don't need Jack Nicholson for it to be just extremely intense. So I think that part is very true. And there are still movies and television shows that I watch where I think I'm so lucky to do that and to do what I do, because it is that fun in real life. It's not always that well spoken, but it is that fun.
Now, you're currently a federal prosecutor in the criminal defense U.S. Attorney's office.
I'm a special assistant U.S. attorney in the U.S. Attorney's office in the Northern District of Georgia.
Okay. I should have asked
you. Oh, that's okay. But having said that, these views are my own, not that of the Department of Justice.
Well, now, before you started working in your current role, you were a litigator in Washington, D.C. Is that true?
Yes. I had a number of law jobs, actually. My husband kind of moved us around, so there are very few things that I have not done. I started at a large law firm in D.C. doing predominantly healthcare fraud defense. Then I moved to a five-man shop doing criminal defense and national plaintiffs class actions in South Carolina. And then when we moved here, I did real estate litigation at a great boutique firm called the Bloom Law Firm. And then I moved into federal prosecution. So it's been a book filled with many chapters, but it's been very exciting.
So what do you learn when you immerse yourself in one of these very different chapters of the law? What are some of the things that you observe?
I'll tell you the most interesting thing is that having done, I think, nearly everything, no matter what I do, I would have to say that the two biggest things about practicing law are about working with other people and knowing the process. So regardless of what I've done, if you can know the process and know it well, that's really the critical thing about the law. Because if you stand up and say the best presentation ever, but you did it on cross instead of direct, it's worthless. And if you're not good working with people, whether it's a judge or your client or your opposing counsel, you will get into hot water very quickly. So I think people sometimes forget that being a lawyer, I think, is mostly about relationships with other people. And I think that gets lost a lot, both in business development and in the practice of law. I think that's what it's all about.
That's interesting, because I think most people outside of the profession wouldn't necessarily get that take on it. You get this picture of somebody in law school reading a million books and really immersing themselves in the detail of a lot of the litigation work.
And that could cause huge problems, actually. I know some of the times I've dealt with clients, their perception of what the law should look like based on television or movies and how contentious it should be, what they want is not necessarily what's best for them. And trying to convince a client that the nicer you are with opposing counsel, or the nicer you are, or the more patient you are with the court, the better, can sometimes be really difficult, but it's what's best for them. But sometimes your most difficult client is your client, and having to convince them that is sometimes the biggest part of the job.
I see a lot of heads nodding here in the room, and I want to bring Michelle West into the conversation. Now, Michelle, you own your own law firm, and you focus on a lot of family issues, immigration, estate planning. How did you get into that area of the law? Talk a little bit about your journey.
Okay, well, when I was in law school, I did some clerkships, and I did them with the Executive Office of Immigration Review, the Immigration Court, and I also did one with the what was at that time the Immigration and Naturalization Service, which is currently the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service. I also did some work with Delta in their International Air Law Department, and then I did work with legal services. So what I kind of got into my journey because I have a diverse background as well. And I'm
right. You've tried a number of different yes. areas.
Yes.
And I'm sure that makes you very strong as an attorney, then, knowing all of these different facets of the law.
I think it makes you versatile in that you're able to actually determine issues that you may not otherwise see having a diverse background. You're able to help your clients. They may come to you with one issue, and then you may actually see something else that you may not otherwise see if you specialize in a particular area. And I also find that I'm able to help my clients out with other cases because of my background.
Now, when we talk about having a diverse background, how much diversity exists within the GAL organization as far as different areas of law that are practiced within the membership base?
I think that just starting off as what type of lawyers we have lawyers who work with big firms, and we have lawyers who work with smaller firms. We have lots of solo practitioners. We have lots of lawyers that work for the government circuit, and also like public interest lawyers. So our lawyers actually run the gamut of representation as far as what type of work the attorneys or what type of firms they work for.
I mean, the different groups get different benefits from GAL, and so you see different segments represented. So, you know, lawyers at big firms that are at GAL are not necessarily doing that because they can get business for their firm, because their clients are Coke, Delta. You know, that's likely not going to come through your average interaction with Gall. But what they do get is maybe their law firm doesn't have a lot of women. Maybe they don't have a women's initiative at their firm. And that support that really, frankly, only women can give each other is what Gall sometimes provides in the gap. Now, for solo and small firm practitioners, I don't think there's a better organization for referrals than Gall. You know, we do a really good job of everybody knows everybody's practice area. You know, supporting each other. If you're running for office, Gall members are the first to volunteer, give money. And so I think that there are different things that Gall offers different people, and that's why there's different types of members, and our membership is pretty diverse.
Cindy, what have you observed about the relationships that you've developed with the other women within Gall as you've evolved professionally?
Well, I will say that Gall has truly been the best decision I made when I decided to get involved in the legal community in Atlanta. I started here in 2002 practicing and quickly got involved in Gall within 2003 or 2004. And so I've been very active in Gall for nearly 10 years now. And I can tell you that, A, I've made some tremendous friendships, bar none. But beyond that, even, it has developed in me a confidence, I think, in being a lawyer, because, you know, it's not just about my little world and my little job and my little firm. It's about, you know, understanding the different choices out there, what kind of practice areas you could go into, and having a resource for asking questions. When I decided to start my own firm, I immediately reached out to several Gall members I know who have done that and took them to lunch and asked them questions and got tips and tricks and advice. And that is absolutely invaluable. And so to have such a diverse group that you can sort of draw upon and make friends with has been a great benefit to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear that you've got that type of professional network that you can rely on. And you, I mean, all three of you are big, high achievers. I mean, we're not talking to people that are just the average, right? We've got some really high achievers, award-winning lawyers here in the room with us today.
We tend to travel in packs.
The rising stars and, yeah, all kinds of great stuff. Now, Michelle, you chair up the program committee for Gall. Is that how it's organized, committee?
Yes, or programs committee. Yes.
So tell me about the programming. If I was going to, by the way, are non-attorneys allowed to pop in and
actually, let me jump
observe
in for a second. Yes, because it's actually the Georgia Association for Women Lawyers. And at the beginning when you said of, I thought, you know, that's interesting because I think a lot of people think it is of.
Right.
That it's just women lawyers, but it's not at all. In fact, the chair of my committee, Valerie Cohn, is a financial planner, and she's been invaluable. She's been in Gall for years, and she has a fantastic relationship with lawyers in town. And I think that's the best thing about Gall is that it's lawyers, it's service industries that relate with lawyers, and it's all about networking, not just within lawyers.
And there are a few men, and they're more than welcome.
Yes. Yes. We are always looking for men.
Yes. Well, good to know. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic because, it's good to have lawyers as friends, I think, comes in handy throughout your life. All right, Michelle, so back to the programs. If people come to a meeting, what type of programming would they expect to enjoy?
We actually just had an art auction this weekend, and I think I'm going to let Cindy talk a little bit about it because she actually went and she purchased some items.
The art auction is one of our annual events that is one of our big events every year, and we use it to raise money to provide scholarships to women law students in Georgia throughout the law schools in Georgia. And so every year they do a huge art auction where they also have a silent auction, a live auction. And unfortunately, my husband was a little too eager with the bidder card and had a lot of fun.
Those things are pretty exciting when you get them in your hand.
He liked to run it up a little bit on the bids and thought that he was being cute, but
he was cute.
We ended up with a few items that we might not have otherwise purchased if he wasn't a little too eager, but it's all for a good cause. And so it was a lot of fun.
That sounds like a great time.
And we also have a fashion show every year. That's a big event as well. And that's held in conjunction with our Mint Your Meeting. And I'm going to let Amanda talk about that because I think she models in it a lot.
No, that was an exception to the rule. But we do a lot of events at Belk. They're a premier sponsor of ours. And so we try to do a lot with them. They have been incredibly supportive of our organization. And they put on a fantastic fashion show usually every year. Last year, I think it was the address for the dress, and it was great. They had all these different dresses, and it was perfect timing. Now we have coming up May 10th, the annual dinner, and that's really our biggest event of the year. And it's a good chance for people, you know, who aren't necessarily active on the committees or doing stuff all the time to get together and see friends, if nothing else, to kind of reconnect with GAL members that they haven't seen in a while. And this year it's actually going to be here at 200 Peachtree, and it's going to be, I think, really phenomenal. They're doing a wonderful job planning it, so I would encourage everyone to come. Even if you're not a GAL member, come see what it's about. We have great new member initiative programs. So if you're new and you don't know anyone, if you go to the website and just click on membership and email them, they will put you in touch with a friend of GAL that you can meet up with, who will welcome you and make sure that you get to know people and stuff.
Oh, that's a great way to bring new people on board. Why don't we say the website since we're talking about
it? It's GAL.org, GAWL.org.
Thanks.
And we also have an event that's coming up at the end of the month on April 27th, and that event is going to be in conjunction with American Heart Association. And basically what we're going to be doing is we have a cardiologist that's coming in. He's going to speak to us about stress and heart health. And basically, since we are stressed out most of the time, but it's basically he's going to just talk to us about how to manage our stress so that it promotes better heart health. So in addition to the program, to the big programs we have, we also have smaller programs throughout the year. We have networking events for all of our members, and just like different CLEs where they're able to get continuing legal education credits for their attendance at the meetings.
Well, you bring up an interesting point about the stress, Michelle, and I do think that a lot of people hold that stereotype of being a lawyer is a very stressful job. You're holding, you know, a lot in your hands. You need to know a lot. You need to be on your toes. A lot of difficult skills. How do you all manage the stress of the position that you're in and still, you know, find the joy to continue to practice and do what you do best? Let's start with. How about Cindy?
Well, I guess my attitude about stress is that it's, in a lot of respects, I believe that it's self-imposed and that you can manage your stress. I mean, I think that everybody has the ability and the responsibility to balance their lives in a way that makes them comfortable and happy and keeps the people around them comfortable and happy. Because I think we can all get overwhelmed. We're all extremely ambitious and goal-oriented. But you just have to take a step back and realize what's the priority and what are you really trying to accomplish. And so in my practice and in my life, you know, every year may be different. You know, this year I had my second daughter a couple months ago. And so for me, it's very family focused right now. And so starting the firm sort of coincided with me growing my family. And it was the right opportunity for me at the time. But you just sort of have to keep everything in perspective.
That's a great perspective to have. And nice part about being an entrepreneur is you can kind of control and dictate your priorities a little bit more because you're the one in the driver's seat of
Absolutely.
Your career. Now, how about Amanda, what's your take on managing the stressful days that come with your job?
I have to be honest, my stress level went down significantly when I left private practice and went to the government, so I'm not the best representative. I will say prior to that, there were a lot of romance novels and Muscat wine involved, but other than that, you know, I'm kind of with Cindy on that, actually, because I do think people have the ability to regulate stress. Unfortunately, it usually requires making some hard choices. What people are not good at is making hard choices for their life, deciding what's really important to you. And there's this expression in law called the golden handcuffs. And that's when you're working at a job where you're making so much money and you're living this lifestyle that you can't leave no matter how miserable it makes you. And I just always thought that was the saddest thing I'd ever heard. It just would, if you can't go to work every day loving what you do. I mean, the other night I was like writing a brief at 2 o'clock in the morning and I loved what I was doing. And I was writing it that late because I wanted it to be really good, not because I was like pressured by billing hours or any of that. If you can do that, if you can love every minute of your work life, then it doesn't matter what you get paid, really. So I just think that people sometimes put themselves in positions where they're then justifying everything. Mm-hmm. And then their unhappiness is hard to unwind because it's a very long path that got you there, and it's a very hard path to undo.
Well, and I think the beauty of the practice of law as a profession is that there are truly so many different potential jobs out mm-hmm. there, you know, and a lot of them aren't even practicing law. But, you know, the average person that's not a lawyer looks at TV and says, okay, every lawyer is in the courtroom. Well, you know, they're not. Actually, majority of them are not. And so although that's what I do and that's, you know, maybe something that I enjoy, most lawyers don't go to court. And so
a lot of lawyers hate court.
Most lawyers hate court.
Right. It's about how do we keep this out of court.
Right. Or they just don't have the interest in being in front of a judge, in front of a jury, or anything like that. And so the beauty of the law is once you have a law degree, you can really do a bunch of different things. And I encourage young lawyers that I talk to consider, you know, what makes them happy? You know, what do they get excited about? I get excited about being in court. Amanda does also. But other people get terrified and petrified and stressed out and not actually interested in that at all. And you can find a practice area, a job, a firm, a government, you know, agency, something that will fit your personality and your interests and your comfort level.
So really, you can make it your own. You can make your career in law something that you've uniquely crafted right. around your interests, your passions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There are so many people who get law degrees who don't practice what we would consider traditional law.
Right.
And they do so many different – there are entire books about that. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I think why, unfortunately, lawyers have the second highest alcoholism rate after dentists – thank God for dentists is that they don't give a lot of thought to it before they do it. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do because in high school I did a teen court program mm-hmm. and I was standing there arguing to a real judge and thought, I want to do this forever. This would be the best job in the world. But there are a lot of people, especially transactional lawyers. I mean, if you ask people before they went to law school, did you know what a transactional lawyer, did you know what a contracts lawyer did 90% of the time? They have no idea. Then they get out, they take this six-figure job, and they have no idea what it entails. And I try to tell, especially kids that are in law school, call up some lawyer who's an alum, ask them to shadow them for one day, mm-hmm. actually see what they do before you sign on the dotted line to do something that you have no idea what that person does. Because if you're going to go spend on average $60,000 to $150,000 for 3 years of law school, and that's a pretty huge debt that people incur, I think you should know what you're going to want to do when mm-hmm. you get out, or have some idea of what you're going to do. And there's a ton of careers that law students don't even think of. There are some coaches out there, actually, that spend their lives not only coaching people on how to become lawyers, but on coaching people who get law degrees and who are practicing law on how to get out of practicing the law mm-hmm. because it's not what they want to do. There's a woman here in town, Monica Parker. She's phenomenal. That's what she does. She coaches lawyers on how to make their lives happier by actually leaving the law. And they are sometimes happier for it. Or at least they stop and for the first time think about, should I do this?
Right.
And some of them have never asked that question.
And I think a lot of times that's where stress comes from.
Right.
It's when you basically get into a position or you chose this because you think that's what you should do without knowing or ever checking it out. And then you're kind of stuck there for a while until you figure out something else. So I think that that's where a lot of stress within the law comes from as well.
Well, that's interesting because it's about like being forward looking. And a lot of times when you talk to an attorney, they say, you know, it's smarter to call an attorney really early on in the situation rather than after, you know, you've already gotten yourself into some kind of trouble. Do you think that being an attorney makes you think in a more proactive fashion because you're always like kind of thinking a couple steps ahead?
I'd like to say yes, but I think that unfortunately attorneys are probably the worst clients for attorneys because we don't always practice what we preach. But you're right. I mean, it really is about, you know, thinking through what the best approach is for you and what you like and what you would enjoy doing every day. I mean, I think the one thing that one of the things that the three of us have in common is we've tried a bunch of different things and we sort of settled on something that we're all kind of really passionate about right now. And it may be some trial and error, but it takes the courage to step out and try something different and not get yourself, like Amanda said, trapped in a circumstance where you can't afford to leave.
So Michelle, tell me a little bit more about your firm and what type of clients you work with.
I work with a lot of family law clients. So clients who have divorce, child support, custody modification issues. I assist clients with immigration issues. I help with filing of family petitions and deportation and removal cases. And then I also do some estate planning where I help clients with wills and healthcare directives and financial power of attorneys.
So those are very sensitive and personal areas that you're working with families on. You must get to know your clients very well and their situation must feel very close to your heart when you're working with them.
Sometimes too well, but, you know, it goes with the territory. And I really enjoy helping them out of a situation that may seem so hopeless. So I think across the board, when you're dealing with sometimes with immigration issues and with family issues, you're at a point in your life that's very stressful. And sometimes it just seems hopeless. And it's just really great to be able to pull those people from that situation and kind of put them on their way where they can see clarity and they're able to move on.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, Cindy, what about you? Talk a little bit about some of the types of clients that you work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my client base with the new
guys. Who hires you guys?
Right,
hopefully
hires me,
everybody.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So they can call right now.
Right. As I mentioned, I'm sort of marrying two different practice areas. I do litigation and defense. So on the criminal defense side, I'm a former prosecutor here in Georgia, and so I have a lot of familiarity with how the prosecution handles criminal charges. And so I represent anybody that's been accused of any crime in Georgia, whether it be state or federal, misdemeanor or felony, traffic tickets, anything like that. And I sort of help them navigate the scary waters of the criminal justice process in our state. And so that's the criminal side of my practice. And I also do civil litigation. So on that side, I kind of tell people that I help solve problems. I represent small businesses when they get into disputes with other companies, with clients. I represent individuals when they get in disputes with a neighbor or with a business. Certainly, if there's an accident or an injury case, I can handle that as well. So I pretty much, both on the criminal and the civil side, I basically say I solve problems for people.
It's good to have a problem solver on your team. And Cindy, you also are very involved in the community as well.
Yes.
What are some of the groups that you're involved in outside of GAL and how you've allowed your practice and your professional success to allow you to have a big impact on the community?
Well, I think for me, it's a matter of, again, doing what you enjoy. And I've gotten involved in some nonprofit organizations. One of the ones that I'm actually the chair of the board of directors for Advocates CASA, which is a CASA organization. And CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. And what a CASA does is they're appointed in a case where there's a child involved in the system through defects custody or something like that. And the CASA basically stands there to help the child through the process. They represent the interests of the child. They go to court. They give a report, a recommendation as to what should happen as far as custody or defects custody or adoption or things like that. And so I work on that board of directors because it's a great organization. And it's about helping the children through the process because it's just really scary for them in that process, when their lives are all shuffled up like that.
Oh, sure. It's so nice that you can do something like that and provide such a compassionate service.
Yes.
Now, Amanda, as chair of the Strategic Partnerships Committee, you guys have been doing a great job, I hear, with strategic partnerships. And you mentioned Belk earlier. Who are some of the other companies that are involved as a sponsor of GAL? Or, who would be some of the people that should be involved?
Well, we actually have a long list of sponsors. And I to read them all off would actually be really extensive, which is a great thing to be able to say.
That is.
But several of the law firms in town, Sutherland, Alston & Byrd, King & Spalding, they have always been behind us. And there are a number of smaller firms that also support us, Bodker Ramsey. You know, they're sponsors of Gall because they are for women lawyers. You know, they, you know, will Sutherland necessarily be able to get a client? Maybe not. But they put money for women lawyers. Now, some of the sponsors we have who are, I guess, more industry providers, for example, like Belk, Habif Arigedi, there are a number of firms that do so much business with lawyers and have a great relationship with Gall, usually because somebody at their firm is somebody in Gall who's really involved. And I will say that one of the things about sponsorships that can sometimes be frustrating is that is this idea that if you sponsor something and you show up, that you will get business. And one of the things that Gall has worked really, really hard this year to do is to not just work with sponsors to understand that this is a relationship. Everything is relationships, but sponsorships especially are a time relationship. So their people need to come, they need to get involved. And most of our sponsors, I mean, I would say almost 99% of them, they do. And they're involved in Gall and they're on committees. You know, I mentioned my friend Valerie, her firm, Capstone Financial Partners, sponsor, longtime sponsor. And they get involved, they get to know people, and over the years, that's who I would go to. That's who I would go to for, you know, coaching services. We have Andrew Grace, we have Cornerstone Coaching, you know, really good service providers who we know Gall members love, who get involved, and it's a two-way street. And so as they get involved and they support Gall, part of my job is to encourage people to use those businesses. And we do that because, A, we know people love them and they're great, but also because if people don't use them, you know, sponsors aren't going to throw good money after bad. So it's a very symbiotic relationship. And I think the best thing about Gall is that it is so much about relationships, all of it. You know, whether you're getting referrals for business or whether you're making friends, you know, we have some people, like I was just thinking of Lori Duff. She's the president of the Gwinnett chapter, and she is running for probate. She's running for county probate judge in Walton County. I don't live in Walton County. I'll be honest. I don't even know where Walton County is, but I sent her a check because Lori's a good friend from Gall, and I want her to win, and I think she'd be fantastic at anything she does. But that's what Gall members do. You know, if Cindy said something, I'd be there. I wouldn't even ask what it was. So I think that's the really great thing about it, is that regardless of where you work or what you do or why you're in Gall, you will get a benefit. You will make friends and relationships. And those people will continue to be the people who you turn to in the future and then hopefully pass on as new lawyers come up and join the organization.
That's really neat. Well, ladies, it's been a real pleasure learning more about Georgia Association for Women Lawyers. And once again, if people want to find out more about Gall, where can they go, Amanda?
If they go to the website, gall.org, G-A-W-L.org, you can find out everything about it. And I would encourage you, if you have any interest, every single board member listed has an email, and they would absolutely be happy to answer any question you have. And we'd love to see everyone at a Gall event.
Terrific. Well, thank you. And Cindy Manning, if people want to go directly to your firm and find out more about what you're doing, where can they visit
you?
Yes,
well, our website is almost done, but it will be mlmlawpractice.com. But they can, of course, email me at cmanning@mlmlawpractice.com.
Terrific. And Michelle West, M. West Legal, where can people find you directly?
I'm currently under construction as well, but that website is www.mwestlegal.com. However, you can reach me at mwest@mwestlegal.com.
Terrific. Well, we'll just send them all to the Gall website because they're all listed there. And you can find out more about some of the other fabulous women that are on the board of directors and involved in the organization. So thank you, Georgia Women Lawyers, for coming into the studio today.
Thanks
this
for
is
having us.
Elizabeth Gordon with Business Radio X, and we are signing off. We'll talk to you next week.